The Yellow Ticket is a 1918 Polish-German film about a young Warsaw woman who hopes to attend medical school in Moscow, but experiences obstacles because she is single and Jewish. It is one of the first films to explore the anti-Semitism rampant in Russia in the early 1900s. The Yellow Ticket silent film will be performed with live music by Alicia Spiegels and Marilyn Lerner at the Ashokan Center on Sunday night at 7:30 in Olive Bridge. Alicia is the world's leading klezmer fiddler, a founder of the Grammy-winning Klezmatics, who she co-led for 17 years, and a composer who was selected to be a 2014 McDowell Fellow. She's accompanied by jazz pianist and improviser and prolific recording artist Marilyn Lerner. Here to tell us more about this event and all things Ashokan, we welcome our friends Jay and Molly, Jay Unger and Molly Mason, to the program. How nice to see you two.
Yeah, hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Great to see you, Joe.
Wonderful. Great to be here.
Well, this is a very cool project, a very cool thing that you are putting up. So give us a sense of how it came to be.
Well, I was reading an old copy of Fiddler magazine that had Alicia Spiegels on the cover. She's my favorite klezmer fiddler. And, you know, it's great that you played her music at the beginning because that sound is so distinctive and so much like spoken Yiddish. So in it was the story of the Yellow Ticket and how she'd been asked to, first that the film had been suppressed by the Nazis. All copies, they thought, had been destroyed. Anything suppressed by the Nazis seems worth reviving.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the film had been restored and she had been commissioned to write a score. And there was something very special about that because her grandfather was a piano player in silent films, and her grandmother used to go to the films, and that's where they met. So she felt there was a double heritage for her. So I called her up and said, could we possibly show this film with your live score at the Ashokan Center? And she said yes.
Wow.
Just lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. So when you get something like this, what has to go into it? Because you have the film and then...
Well, yes. Well, there's more to it. Also, she's offering a workshop for people, for violinists and fiddlers at 1:30 in the afternoon, which is a special opportunity. But, yes, so we're set up to show film, which is a great thing.
We needed a good piano.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bringing in a small grand piano, high-quality sound, and that's it. That's what we need to...
That's all you need.
Well, what we really need is an audience.
That's true. Some folks to appreciate it, yes.
So what has it been like in working with her, Molly, and getting this whole thing together of listening to the music sort of evolve and develop?
Well, Jay's had most of the contact, but it's been really interesting. And as I've learned more about what this film is... I can't wait to see it myself, and I just hope that, you know, we've gotten the word out there enough that we'll have a good audience to share that film. As Jay mentioned, it's pretty rare. I mean, it's pretty rare to get the musicians together to play live for this 1918 film. So it's an unusual thing to happen. It doesn't happen every month or every year. So I hope people come out to see it.
And the music, is heritage traditional based, but it is contemporarily composed, and they're both really great improvisers as well as, you know, just virtuosos. So, you know, they've never recorded, to my knowledge, the score.
Right.
It's just available live, which is a very special thing.
How much is the film shown, much other than when they do this?
A few times a year is what I'm gathering by checking on the internet.
Do you do a lot of film at the Ashokan Center?
Well, we've been having a film to open the Winter Hoot each year. There hasn't been a lot of film, but we're embarking on that. We're embarking on a lecture series called Catskill Conversations, which started over the past year. You know, the Ashokan Center has been... You know, over its 50 years, it started as the Ashokan Field Campus of SUNY New Paltz, and it was really only open to schools, and we still are, for environmental education and outdoor education. And when schools are there, it has to be closed to the public, even though it's a phenomenally beautiful special nature preserve. Mm. And then when it's rented to other nonprofits that want to run events there, again, it's private. So in the past 10 years that it's been away from this SUNY New Paltz and been operating as its own independent nonprofit, the Ashokan Center, we've been trying to open up, find more ways to make it available to the community and to the world.
Which has been really something.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. And so, this month, in fact, marks our 10 years of the Ashokan Center being its own business.
Of your stewardship.
Our stewardship, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, yeah. Are you marking that occasion in any way?
Well, we're trying to plan an event at the Ashokan Center in the fall. But by the time we started thinking about it, there were so many things going on that it's hard to find an open date.
Right.
Which is kind of a, you know.
That's a good thing.
A good thing.
Yeah, that's a very good thing.
Yeah. So, but we will. We'll find a time to celebrate the 10 years that it's been on its own in the world.
What do you look for? I mean, this is a very special event, the Yellow Ticket. What do you look for in events to bring in that you feel are a perfect match, not only for your venue, but for your audience?
Well, environmental things is one topic, of course, that we seek to cover and that we have covered. And that goes, you know,
sustainability.
Sustainability. Even gardening, I would say. Mm-hmm. And
you know, our mission includes
water.
Water, yeah, absolutely.
Water.
Our mission includes the words nature, history, and the arts. And anything that combines those is super important to us because we feel the three inform one another and deepen the experience. Mm. And it's shared experiences. That's the other thing. So the Yellow Ticket combines history and art in the form of film and music.
Music, yes.
And communal experience, people coming together to see something very special and share it. So we'll leave time afterward for socializing and networking. We do that at all these events.
To talk and have time to
figure
out what we just experienced.
Yes, because bringing people together is really another big part of our mission. So,
Tell me about the workshop. You mentioned it, but the Klezmer Fiddle Workshop that'll be happening that afternoon. That's very cool.
Yeah. She'll be teaching people that special sound and some of the repertoire. And she's just a great, accessible teacher who can get right to the point and bring you up from where you are.
I'm sure she'll answer a lot of questions as well and just give a lot of information because she's got it.
Yeah. Those interested in the music, later in the summer, we have another new music and dance camp. It's called Klez Camp, and it ran for 30 years in the Southern Catskills, and now it's coming back. And it was run all that time by a guy named Henry Sapoznik, who moved to Wisconsin for a while, but now he lives just down the road from the Ashokan Center. And he's reviving Klez Camp. And so it's Yiddish-based music, dance, stories, songs. And it's a four-day, a five-day event. So people can come and really immerse themselves in the culture.
Do you find people, is that of all experience levels that come? Is that?
Yeah, well, our music and dance camps, there are now 11 of them. There were only four 10 years ago. They vary in terms of their beginner level offerings. Most of them are accessible to beginners, though. That's one of the important things about what I think we offer is a chance for experienced and even professional musicians and beginners to mingle with one another and realize that we're all people and we all share something
human. I think that's one of the most common questions that comes in on the phone or by email. Is people saying, well, do you have to be good? Do you have to be good to come to camp? And do you have to have done this for a while? You have to be a professional, right?
Yeah, that would be my question.
And we say, no, actually, you know, if you just are getting started or you've been playing for a few months, or you haven't played at all, come on down. We've got it from total beginner classes to fairly advanced classes.
I mean, it's important that everyone who is very accomplished was once a beginner and that we try to have people on our staff and running our weeks and camps who understand that and celebrate that. And when they hire teachers, they hire teachers who respect that.
What is it, I mean, you've done this, I mean, what is it, that relationship between a student and a teacher of finding that correct balance?
Which balance do you mean?
Well, I mean, or the correct ingredients of a student finding the best teacher for them and the teacher finding a student that they want to teach?
Well, if it's a one-on-one, you know, and many people taking music lessons during the year are one-on-one, you should really judge that for yourself and find somebody that you're comfortable with yet makes you stretch, gives you some challenge. But in the group classes that happen mostly at the camps, there's a little bit of one-on-one teaching too. There, we do have multiple different people teaching similar subjects, so you can drift and find the class that fits you best. I'm not sure that answers your question.
It does.
I want to say that we look for in teachers people who remember what it was like to start out and be learning, to remember that as they teach, and also who feel like even though they might be professionals and they've done it for decades, they are still learning as well. Then, you know,
that's
when
true.
You find a teacher who's aware of that in themselves, that even though they're really great and they're at a high level, they're still learning too, and they're still having challenges. So,
one of the things I think about when I'm teaching at the camps is if I'm giving 5 lessons in a row on 5 days, it's way different than 5 lessons in a row, 1 a week. There's no time, not much time between, for the person to absorb and practice and
the natural maturation.
Right. So it's a different approach. So I try to provide the kind of techniques and stylistic nuances that you can then take and apply to other music that you're learning after you leave. And also have each day have at least one experience of something that was easy and had a lot of bang for the buck, as right. well as challenging.
Well, there's a lot of wonderful things happening at the Ashokan Center, and you can find out more by going to ashokancenter.org, ashokancenter.org. But the thing we really want to remind you about is on Sunday night at 7:30 in Olive Bridge at the Ashokan Center, the Yellow Ticket silent film will be performed with live music by Alicia Spiegels and Marilyn Lerner at the Ashokan Center, again, it's Sunday night at 7:30 in Olive Bridge. And the workshop is at 1:30, correct?
Yes. Correct.
At 1:30.
Yep.
And you can find out more information about all of that by going to ashokancenter.org, ashokancenter.org. Jay Unger, Molly Mason, we always love having you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you,
Thank
Joe.
You.
Be
it's
well.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.